Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, 3, and 4. This is the reading of God's Word. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray for His blessing upon the preaching of the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing of Your Word. You are so faithful in giving us Your Word. Grant us an ear to hear Your Word, an ear to hear Your voice through Your Word, telling us of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the heavenly realities, the eternal salvation that He has accomplished for us. O Father, as we hear Your Word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like Your Son. Let us imitate God, imitate You in everything that we do. O Father, let Your Word be preached correctly and understood by Your people correctly. Let us, through Your Word, see our heavenly realities and see our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice and give all the glory and honor and power to You. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been looking at this verse, verse 2, for many weeks. We are looking at our heavenly reality that our Lord and God Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We are the ones who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name. We are standing on the sea of glass mixed with fire, and according to chapter 4 verse 6, we are thus standing before the throne of God, and we are praising and worshiping our God. Today we are finishing up this verse. At the end of that verse we read, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And the beginning of the verse 3, they sang the song of Moses and the bondservant of God and the song of the Lamb. What we are looking at in chapter 15, verse 2, we have been already seen this reality of heaven in the book of Revelation before. Let me remind you a couple places. Chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So here, 24 elders representing the church, they're also holding a harp and they're praising. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood Men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. So, in chapter 5, again we see our heavenly reality and God's people with the harps of God praising God. One more place, chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. So here, those people who were represented with 24 elders in chapter 5, here they are represented with this number, 144,000 people. This is total of elect of God. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. Again, we hear the sound of harps, and they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. The chosen people of God, the sons of God that our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed, 144,000 people, the true Israel, you and I, we, who are saved by Jesus Christ our Lord from this world and sin and Satan, now worship and praise our God forever and ever. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. And I pray that you will be able to see this with your faith, that the Bible teaches us. And that's what faith is all about, that you believe what the Bible says, because you do not see it. If you see it, then it's not faith. It's faith because you do not see it. And the Bible teaches us that we have been gathered spiritually unto God. And what are we doing? We're worshiping God. We're praising Him. We're singing to our God. And this is our present, right now, spiritual, heavenly reality. That eternal worship and that eternal praise have already begun in heaven. And you and I are invited by God to participate in that worship and praise. And this is what this worship is all about. In other words, in the context of what we are looking at today, that you and I, we are the choir of heaven. The choir, the singers of heaven. In the Old Testament, only the Levites were allowed. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we read about the King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. Why don't we go there? 1 Chronicles chapter 15. These verses that we're going to look at, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, this is where we meet in the Old Testament the choir. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. It says, then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites, to to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals to raise sounds of joy. So again, we see in the Old Testament, the choir, singers, and the instrument players, and they're playing, among other things, harps, just like what we are looking at in our passage. Chapter 16, go down to verse 4. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. So, among the tribe of Levites, you understand in the Old Testament, Israel is made up of 12 tribes, and Levite is one of them. And out of that tribe, then few people are selected as the choir to sing in the temple of God. Now, and in chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles, we read about in detail the formation of that choir. Let us go there too. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 6 and 7. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, for the service of the house of God, the service of the temple. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king. Their number, who were trained in singing to the Lord, this is choir, with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. So there were 288 people in this choir. And if you read on from verse 8, you will read about their names who are in that choir. And this, you must understand, in the Old Testament, only from the tribe of Levites. Now, who are these people, Levites? Well, we could say a lot about them, but the most famous one is what? The most familiar one that we already know about this tribe is that this is the tribe where the priests of God come. Who are the priests? They are the people who serve God in the temple. And only Levites could be priests, no one else. So now, only Levites can be priests, and only Levites can be choir. Now, if you read the Old Testament, When does this choir sing? Well, they sing during the sacrifice, when the animals are burned up. When the sacrifice is given to God, then the choir sings. Now, there's one more place that I would like to go. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 is about the dedication service of the temple. Now, the King Solomon, he finished the temple. The temple is now built. And during the dedication service, King Solomon sacrifices animal, and he also has a choir to sing to the Lord. Go down to verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11. When the priests came forth from the holy place, For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, choir, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. And the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now, if you read chapter 15 all the way through, chapter 15 all the way through the end, you will see the similar thing. Even as these people holding harps of God, praising God, then what happens at chapter 15, verse 8? The temple of God, the heaven, is filled with the glory of God, and no one is able to enter. In our passage then, in Jesus Christ, the heavenly reality is accomplished. Now in the Old Testament, we have choir, we have temple, and people sacrifice to God, and they praise to God, they're singing to God, and they're playing harps to God. But there's difference. What's the difference? In the Old Testament, it was always, Old Testament is a shadow. It is a type. It's not the heavenly reality that Christ accomplishes. Old Testament points to that heavenly accomplishments that Jesus accomplishes. That's why in the Old Testament, it's always earthly. Temple is earthly. Now in Jesus Christ, temple is no longer earthly. There is no earthly temple. You are the temple of God. Heaven is the temple of God. Jesus Christ is the true temple of God. And in the Old Testament, because it is not perfect, because it is not complete, it is always selective. Now in the Old Testament, even getting circumcision, obviously, Old Testament is physical, is earthly, so the only men are able to get circumcised. Now then, what about women? Are they not included? Well, in the Old Testament, they were not. But it was not the perfect reality. It was pointing to the perfect reality that Jesus Christ will accomplish. So the earthly physical circumcision was pointing to the circumcision of the heart. The circumcision that the Holy Spirit performs. The true circumcision. So today, every believer, whether they are men or women, they are all circumcised. Their hearts are circumcised. Because the true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. The Holy Spirit, when He came into you, He circumcised your heart. In Jesus Christ, the true temple is now accomplished. We are His temple. And the choir of heaven has been gathered, and they are worshiping and praising God forever and ever. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? our present spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, only Levites could be the priests. No one else. If you are not born in the Levitical tribe, you will never be a priest. But now, in Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a says, "But you are, all of you who are in Jesus Christ, every believer, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." So in the New Testament, everyone, if you're a Christian, everyone is priest. But in the Old Testament, because it's earthly and is not perfect, it was selective. Only few people were priests. So even now, you come to God, as you worship God, you come as priest. And you have come to the true temple, which is heaven, and you yourselves are the temple of God, and you are actually what? Working as the priests. You're serving and you're worshiping God. Just like it, now in Jesus Christ, all believers are the members of the choir of heaven. All of us are the singers in the true house of God. This you must understand, our church, Christ and Heaven OPC, some say we do not have a choir. They come to our worship and say, "Oh, this church does not have choir." They're wrong. Whenever all of us get up and praise God, sing hymns to God, we are doing that as a choir of God. Because in the New Testament, all of God's people are members of the choir of heaven. No one is excluded. No one. And it's not earthly. You know? Thank God that in Jesus Christ, everything is now perfect. Because believe me, when we sing, man, we're pretty bad. Now, in earthly terms, how can we offer that kind of praise to our awesome God? I mean, think about it. If we're invited to a king, I don't know, like White House, and we're called to White House to sing for President Obama, and if we sing like we sing, oh man, he will never invite us again. Because in earthly terms, how we sing is not worthy of president. How we sing is never going to be worthy of God. But it's not earthly anymore. You don't have to sing good in an earthly manner. Just like the non-Christian will say, "Oh man, this is beautiful. I hear beautiful sound in a perfect harmony." You know, harmony. Our hymnals have four parts, and when we sing, we have like 19 parts. I mean, what harmony? And yet, in Christ, God hears it, and it is beautiful because you sing with faith. You sing in Christ. I don't like this concept that if I'm not physically good, singer, then I am excluded in the choir of God. That if I don't know how to read, and if I read the notes, and if I cannot, you know, hit that note, and I always like make a sound that is just completely out of that harmony, then the choir director will tell me to, you know, go, bye. Well, God does not tell me to go, bye. Who is He to tell me that I cannot be a member of choir? Who is He? No, I refuse to go. I want to praise God. He better make me a member of choir. Nobody can tell you not to sing to God. Nobody. Because we are singers in the house of God. On the other hand, you must understand that you are a member of choir. You are a singer in the house of God. You must sing. That's who you are. And it's okay. Don't be ashamed that you don't know how to sing that well. It's okay if everybody hears your voice that is just completely out of tune. Sing, because you're singing to God. And when you sing in faith, God hears it and He says, it's beautiful. Even now, you and I are gathered with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and praising our God together as the choir of God. The sacrifice is over. Jesus' once and for all perfect sacrifice. So, you know, in the Old Testament, it was always with sacrifice that we praise, we sing. But the sacrifice is done. There is no more sacrifice because Jesus gave Himself as a once and for all perfect sacrifice. So only thing left is praise. And that is why we're here, to praise our God, to sing to our God. And you don't have to sing loud or sing audibly. You could sing in your heart. Even as you sit there and listening to His word, you could sing to Him. Forever praising God, this is who we are. Do you see it in our verse, our heavenly reality? You and I were holding the hearts of God and we're praising God. This is who we are. So even as whatever you do in this world, you are praising. You are singing to God. And praising is not just, you know, has to be in melody. When I say, I praise my son, what do I mean? I say good things about my son. So I say, my son is whatever, then I'm praising him. Same thing, you say in your heart or to other people who God is to you and the marvelous, the awesome things that He has done for you. You give Him thanksgiving. Just saying thank you, God, is praising. This is who you are. You need to praise God every single moment. Because this is who you are. This is what you will be doing in heaven. And you are already doing that in heaven. You must believe what the Bible tells you who you are in Christ. And that faith will help you to make you live out that reality. Chapter 5, verse 9, and chapter 14, verse 3, these people are singing the new songs. In our passage, we are singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are included. We disagree with the people who say that the only Psalms, only the Psalms must be sung in the worship service. There are many people who say that only the Psalms should be sung in the worship service. We disagree. We are not saying, let's not sing Psalms, but we are against those people who say the Psalms only. In chapter 4 of the Revelation, book of Revelation, we see a heavenly reality where these heavenly creatures are singing to God, holy, holy, holy. And that is what is sung in heaven even now. Holy, holy, holy. And you will not find that in Psalms. This praise, holy, 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 does not appear in Psalms. In Isaiah you will find it, but not in Psalms. But it is sung in heaven. So, Psalms only, just, you cannot argue that way. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, which we read, singing by the choir is related not only to the sacrifice, but also to the completion of the temple. At the completion of the temple, the Ark of the Covenant is brought into the Holy of Holies, which symbolized the throne of God. Thus, the temple is finished and God sits on His throne and the people of God praise God. This is related to creation. At the completion of creation, God rests on the seventh day. The resting is related to sitting. And the whole creation praised God on that glorious day. All point to Jesus Christ completing the true temple, and it is spiritually already complete. And now He sits at the right hand of God, and what are we doing, God's people? We are gathered unto Him to praise Him now and forever. But brothers and sisters, here there is one thing that is truly amazing. And this is what one thing that I want you to get today. All of God's people are praising, singing to God in chapter 15, verse 2. And that is our reality. In chapter 14, verse 1, 144,000 are the ones who are singing to God. And you and I, we are included in that 144,000 people. Now, question is this. With whom are these people, 144,000, standing at the Mount Zion of heaven? If you read chapter 14, verse 1, these 144,000 people are standing with the Lamb, with Jesus Christ. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Jesus is also praising with you, with His people. Jesus Christ is the singing Savior. Now, if you don't believe me, let's look at the scripture. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 11. For both He who sanctifies, that's Jesus Christ, and those who are sanctified, that's us, are all from one Father. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. This is an amazing verse, right? Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brothers, even though He's God and we are His creatures. Saying, this is what Jesus says then, verse 12. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Do you see it? Not only that we are gathered unto God in heaven, that we are singing to God as His choir, but Jesus Christ is with us and He's singing with us. See, He has two natures. As God, He's the recipient of that praise. But as a man, He praises. He sings. We are praising our God in Christ and with Christ. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? This is very, very important. He is the true singer of heaven. Without Him singing, no sinners can sing to God. It's not just because we sing to God and God is happy. But we sing in Christ and with Christ that God is happy. Because what is our singing? If Jesus never came and He never died on the cross, what is our singing to God? It's utterly, utterly nothing. Why does He even have to listen to us singing? So understand, brothers and sisters, singing to God, praising God is privilege. It is amazing blessing in Christ. It's not just anybody who could come and sing. And even in the Old Testament then, God showed that reality that you need to be a Levite to sing. It's not like anybody who wants to. But we who are saved in Christ, we are all Levites, true Levites. But not anybody can just come and sing. Non-Christians, they cannot come and sing to God. And even if they sing to God, God's not going to listen. So understand, brothers and sisters, how privileged you are, how blessed you are, that you are able to praise God and sing to God, and He hears you, and He is pleased with you. Singing is joyful, because we're not just singing some, I should say, stupid pop songs, we're praising God. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? The Psalms are actually His Psalms. Jesus is the true singer of Psalms. Go to Psalm 22. Let's just look at 22, Psalm 22. The 22nd Psalm begins with these words. My God, why have you forsaken me? If you read top of that verse, it says a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David. You know, this is just by looking at that. It is indeed amazing grace. A mere human, King David, a sinner at that, A psalm that he wrote. Psalm that he writes. Psalm that this human sings. Now Jesus put them in his lips. Because ultimately it is his words. Do you see it? On the cross, Jesus sings Psalm 22. Even as he dies on the cross, he sings. On the cross, he sings Psalm 22. Only reason that we are now able to sing to God is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, sang this psalm to God on the cross. That he was forsaken by God because of our sins. He sang Psalm 17 verse 15, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake." As he sings, he is resurrected from the dead and sang Psalm 18, verse 49, "Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord." So that the Gentiles are included as the citizens of the kingdom of God. Do you see it? Even his accomplishments is living out what he sings to God. His life is praise to God. One more verse, and let us go there together. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah, I know, where is Zephaniah? Well then, if you can't find it, just listen then. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet and in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." That last verse, NIV has, "He will rejoice over you with singing." Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Do you see your Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? What is he doing, among other things? What is he doing? He's singing. But he is singing because of us. He sings for us, and he sings over us, and he sings with us. We are called to participate in his singing. Praise God with Christ. Jesus opens the lips of the dumb to sing. And you and I were spiritually dumb, but now our lips are open to sing to God forever and ever. Oh, brothers and sisters, sing to God. Let your heart sing to him. Always. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you hear your heart singing to God? Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Psalm 57, verse 7 through 11. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Man, I will awaken the dawn with singing to the Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above the earth. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 73, verse 24. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Do you hear your heart singing to your God? Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 104, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Psalm 105, verse 1-4, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. For his loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless you, your name, forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. You come to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Chapter 7, verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we come to our passage, which we're going to look at in more detail next time. The content of this Song of Moses and Song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. The last psalm, last verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I are singers of God, the choir of heaven. Saved. Saved. To praise God. To sing to God. Not saved to do any other things that you might think is important. But you are saved to praise God, to sing to God. Thus, when we are going through sufferings, yes, you will suffer. When we are persecuted, yes, you will be persecuted. When we are crying, yes, you will cry. You will face many difficult times. You will face a situation where you have no idea how you're going to get out of it. Even when you are dying, you praise God. Just like your Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as he was dying. He sang Psalm 22. Yes, you might be in darkness these days. Are you suffering? Are you struggling with your sins? Are you having difficulties? Well, sing. Sing to the Lord. Imitate your Lord. Praise God. We praise God, seeing through the Word, our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Now and forever we sing to God. Now and forever we praise our God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have opened our lips to sing to you. We thank you that Jesus Christ is with us as we praise you. We praise you in him. We praise you with him. Even as he praises you with us. Oh Father, let us truly believe how we are saved to sing to you forever. Let us praise you always. Let our hearts praise you now and forever. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.